Parsha's Mishpatim. Parsha's Mishpatim is the Parsha that comes after the Parsha of Yitro, and which includes a basket full of halachot, which are very interesting if you're learning Masechet Bava Kama and others. But there are a lot of halachot about torts and about also about the chagim and the moadim. And after those halachot, we can understand somehow have something to do with Matan Torah. That Matan Torah included Aseret HaDibrot, which of course only Moshe Rabbeinu heard, really. And then he taught it to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael themselves heard the first two of the Dibrot, and they kind of had to absorb that, you know, what that meant to them. Then comes, after the Parsha Mishpatim, and then comes Mishpatim. And as I say, the Mishpatim, they're understandable in that context. I mean, you could say, why these particular halachot, and other, not other halachot, but we can understand that before Bnei Yisrael would be able to say, you know, we accept the Torah, it makes sense that they should have to learn a little more Torah than just the Aseret HaDibrot. Because as Rashi points out, and Rav Sadia Gaon instituted this idea, Rashi quotes it, that the Aseret HaDibrot does somehow include all of the Dibrot. You could divide up all the Dibrot, or all of the Halachot of the Torah, into these 10 categories, but you couldn't derive them. You know what I mean? If somebody gives you the Aseret HaDibrot, you would never be able to derive the rest of the mitzvot of the Torah. But if you have all the mitzvot of the Torah, you can categorize them as belonging, you know, to different dibrot. I mean, I hope you understand the difference. When you say that the Aseret HaDibrot are kind of a model for the entire Torah, that's true if you know the entire Torah. But it's not true if you don't know the entire Torah. You can't derive the Torah from the Aseret HaDibrot. You understand. So Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a book in which he showed how all of the mitzvot of the Torah are included in the Aseret HaDibrot. And therefore the Aseret HaDibrot are really 10 categories, right? 10 major categories in which all the mitzvot can be included. Now after that in Mishpatim, we have Yitro, Aseret HaDibrot, we have Mishpatim, more and more mitzvot of the Torah. And then the Torah says the following, and this is the first source on the sheet. Hinei Anochi Sholech Malach Lefanecha L'Shomercha Baderech. I am sending, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, I am sending a Malach Lefanecha L'Shomercha Baderech U'Laviecha L'Makom Asher Achinoti. There are three or four psukim which continue this idea. Hineni sholeach aleichem, hineni anochi sholeach malach lefanecha. Who is the malach, and why do we need the malach, and what is the purpose of the malach? That none of that is stated in the Torah, and none of this explains why it's here after the halachot of Mishpatim. It's a double mystery. V'haviyacha v'makom asher achinoti. V'haviyacha refers to the Malach will bring you, I guess, Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael, el makom asher achinoti, to the place which I have prepared. Now, what does that mean for Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, isn't he the one who is bringing everybody to this place which I have prepared? There's a warning. Beware of him. Ushma bekolo, al tamer bo. Do not deny his instructions. Ki lo yisal pishechem. He will not bear your transgression. In other words, you'll be punished for it. And the reason is kishmi v'kirbo, because the malach doesn't have options. The malach is not like a human leader, like Moshe Rabbeinu could pray for the welfare of Bnei Yisrael after they sinned. But the malach can't do anything like that. The malach just knows for sinning you get punished, and if you don't sin, you get, you know, everything is fine. Ki im shamo tishma b'kolo, ki im in the Hebrew of the Torah means if you, when you, shamo tishmu b'kolo, v'asita kol asher daber, v'ayavti et oivecha v'tzarti et tzorerecha. But if you listen to this malach, if you pay close attention to him, Vayavti et oivecha. Okay, that's like almost poetry. Oivecha, your enemy. Vayavti et I will make them into the enemy. That, you know, they will not be able to deal with you, the enemy. Vitzarta et tzorerecha. And you will be able to oppress those that oppress you. Pasuk of Gimel says, Ki yelech malachi lefanecha, Vaviacha el ha'emori achiti aprizi vatlani achivi vayibusi vehech chadetiv. I will bring you to these nations. Ki elech malachi lefanecha. The malach will lead you and bring you into the emori. Now emori, the word emori, as we know today, is both the name of a nation and a collection of nations. Like all the sometimes in the Torah, all the nations of Canaan are called Emori. And other times, they're designated as a particular nation, which today we know a little bit more about, called the Amorites. The Hittites also are known a little bit. Prizi, Knani, Chivi, Yivusi, who knows who they are? V'hechechadetiv, and they lead, led by this angel, you will be able to destroy them. Okay. That's what it says. That's what the Torah said. I haven't got an idea, I haven't got a clue about what this is about, why this happened, why the angel is coming, and why the angel is leading Bnei Yisrael, and what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua bin Nun. The Torah doesn't explain any of that. The second passage on the sheet, where it says Perek Lamed Gimel, Perek Lamed Gimel is the chapter after Chayta Ega in Parashat Kitisa. Right? You remember Kitisa? Like we're up to Mishpatim. After Mishpatim come the two Parashiyot of Truma and Titzaveh. Those are the Parashiyot about building the Mishkan. And after that comes Kitisa, which is the parasha of the Chayta Ega, of the building of the golden calf. After that, after Moshe Rabbeinu begs forgiveness for Am Yisrael and somehow reestablishes the dream of Am Yisrael to go to Eretz Yisrael, and in spite of the Chayta Ega, in spite of this terrible thing that they have done, the Chayta Egel, history continues. But there's a change. And this parasha is the change. By the Be'er Hashem Moshe, Lech alei mizeh, atava am asher aleitam eretz mitzrayim, la'aretz asher nishbati, la'abraham li'itzchak li'yakov le'mor, Lizaracha etnena. So this kind of reaffirmation. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you lead the people to Eretz Kedah. In other words, it's still on. We're still going to do it. We're still going to bring Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. Ela arta shenishbati l'Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov le'mor Lizaracha etnena. I promise Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that their descendants will inherit the land. This sounds like a reaffirmation. It's all like saying, in spite of the fact that you've done what you've done, and what's happened has happened, and the Chayta Egel has taken place, will continue history, as you, Moshe Rabbeinu, asked for mercy, right? And then, Pasuk Bet, listen, V'shalachti lefanecha malach. And I will send an angel to go before you. V'gerashti et ha-kanani amoreh. You see that? Similar to the Pasuk of Gimel in the previous paragraph. El Eretz Avat Chalav Udvash, I bring you to the land flowing milk and honey. Kilo Aaleh Bekir Becha, Kilo Aaleh Bekir Becha, Kilo Aaleh Bekir Becha. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol, will not go up with you, but the Malach will go with you. Ki Am She'orev Ata, Ben Achalcha Baderech. Okay? Because if I was with you, it would be terrible. God's anger would not be under control, so to speak. Pasuk Yudalit, Vayomer, Vayomer, Panay Elechu, Vanichotilach. My face will go, and I will let you be. So that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is that one of the implications of the Chet HaEgel is that it is no longer God leading us to Eretz Yisrael, but an agent of God. And that agent of God is called Malach. That agent of God is called Malach. So these two parashiyot, these two sections, refer to the Malach. They don't seem to have anything to do with each other, even though they sound similar, both of these parashiyot. And so if you look back at the Perek of Gimel Pasuk Kaf, at Rashi, let's look at Rashi. Hine anochi sholech malach. Hine, remember, this Pasuk is in the parasha of Mishpatim, our parasha. And it comes after the Torah of Mishpatim. And it comes after Aseret HaDibrot. Rashi says, Hine Anochi Sholech Malach, Kan Nitbasru, here they are told, Sh'atidim Lachto. Here they are told that they will in the future transgress. U'shchina Omeret Lahem, Ushchina omeret lahem. God kaviyachol says to Bnei Yisrael, "Ki lo aale bekir becha, ki lo aale bekir becha." You see the second paragraph again, pasuk gimel. El eretz avat chalav udvash, ki lo aale bekir becha. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol, will not go up with you. Meaning perhaps, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will not lead you to Eretz Canaan, but you will be led by the Malach. By the Malach. And why is that good for you? Pen acholcha baderech. That's what it says at the end of the Pasuk. Lest you be eaten along the way. It was God's anger. As you know, God's anger has not really been abated after the Chet HaEgel, and the pasuk says here. I'm looking at a chumash. Not a big secret. So here you have it. Just one second here. Ata lech nechayet ha'am al asher dibarti lach hinei malachi yelech lefanecha. Again, another pasuk which is not on the sheet, but it's perek lamed bet pasuk lamed dalet. The end of the pasuk says lamed bet lamed dalet hinei malachi yelech lefanecha. My angel will go before you. The angel will lead you. That's what that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then adds, Uviyom Pokdi, Uviyom Pokdi, on the day that I remind myself of your existence, of Hakadah De'alehem Chatatam. And Rashi explains apparent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always remembers the Chayta Egel. And when the time comes in history that we deserve to be punished, a little extra is added for the Chayta Egel. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed that Bnei Yisrael would be able to go to Eretz Yisrael after the Chayta Egel, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not agree that the relationship should remain the same. Something changed, and the residual of the Chet HaEgel, so even though the discussion of Kitisa, right, we're in the parasha Kitisa, even though the discussion is Moshe Rabbeinu says, save them, what's going to happen if they all die, that people will think that God can't do it, can't bring them to Eretz Yisrael, etc. You know, he made this argument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, but that doesn't mean that they were forgiven. That's what it says in the Torah. Okay, history will go on. You will go to Eretz Yisrael, but the Chet HaEgel will remain with you. And whenever the punishment comes to Bnei Yisrael, the major punishments, you know, Churban Bayit Rishon, first the exile of the 10 tribes, and the Churban Bayit Rishon, the Churban Bayit Sheni, the punishment will include a punishment for the Chet HaEgel. Biyom Pokdi, on the day that I will take note of Bnei Yisrael and how they act, right? And I will remind them, this Rashi. I didn't read the Rashi, but I'm telling you what Rashi said. Rashi says that when punishment comes, there's a little extra for the chait ha'egel. So that the malach is really saving Bnei Yisrael. That's what the pasuk says. Because if God would take Bnei Yisrael Bnei Yisrael to Eretz Canaan, then any deviation in behavior, any small transgression, would get the wrath of God, and God would punish them very severely because the Chet HaEgel was still with them. So sending them with the malach was an act of salvation, even though the malach, it's not like God, but the malach is also not going to get angry when he's not supposed to get angry. So let's look back at Rashi, at Perek Lavet, at Perek Kof Gimel. Rashi says, Kadnit Basusha Atidim Lachto. Here the Torah tells us that they're going to sin. Here in Parashat Mishpatim, that they're going to sin where? In Parashat Kitisa. That's where they're going to sin. Ishkina Omeret Lahem Kilo Aale Bekir Becha. And they'll be punished. So this malach, anyway, that's the malach. That's what it's talking about. Rashi says, the continuation of the pasuk Ashati Noti, Asher Zimanti Latet Lachem. I prepared it for you, Zepshuto. Rashi says, Umedrasho, Ela Makoma Shechi Noti Kfar Mikomi. Vikar kinegdo. My place is kinegdo. It's a reflection of heaven. V'zeh chad min ha-mikraot sh'omrim sh'beit ha-mikdash o'mala v'chuvad kineged beit ha-mikdash o'mala. So let's look at the shalmata. That there's a pshat and a drash. Rashi says, Asher achinoti, Asher zimanti latet lachad, referring to Eretz Yisrael. I prepared Eretz Yisrael for you. It's going to be yours. That's the pshat. What's the drash? Drash is not pshat. Ela makom shechinati kvar mikomi nikar kenegdo. In other words, there's like a problem. Asher achinoti means which I have prepared. In what way did God prepare Eretz Yisrael? There's nothing prepared. It's just a bunch of people who live there and live, you know, whatever they do. But God, you can't say God prepared Eretz Yisrael for Bnei Yisrael. What sort of preparation is there? So the pshat doesn't work out according to Rashi. That's the pshat. In other words, Rashi says, I mean, if you read it that way, you're going to be, you may be a poor teacher, but you're not going to be an abominable teacher. So you need the drash. What does Asher Achinoti mean? Asher Achinoti means that in heaven, there is already the Beit HaMikdash, which is going to be duplicated on earth. So that's Asher Achinoti. It's like you can already build the Beit HaMikdash, because the heavenly Beit HaMikdash is ready. And that's what it says. Okay.
Rob, is that why the Truman Sala in between?
That's why?
Truman Sala, which described building the Mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash, is in between these two settings.
Maybe. I mean, certainly possible. When Rashi says, "Kan nitpasrul sha'atidim lachto, u'shchina umeret lachem shelo ale bekir b'cha," so what Rashi is saying is that these psukim are a kind of a prelude to psukim that are going to happen, to something that's going to happen later on. Because certainly in the parasha of Mishpatim, they have not yet built the Egel HaZahav. Therefore, there's no need for this Malach. So you have to agree, even though Rashi is organizing the material for us, we have to admit that there's a little bit of a problem here. I mean, like, why was the Malach mentioned now? In this week's parasha, Mishpatim, what does Mishpatim have to do with the Malach? If the Malach leads them to Eretz Israel because of the Chet HaEgel, why would the Torah tell us this story here, where there is absolutely no relevance and no connection? And even Rashi, it's true that Rashi had a very kind of liberal idea about Mukdam and Mukhar Batorah. Rashi said the Torah didn't have to be in chronological order. Usually it is in chronological order. But if it's not in chronological order, according to Rashi, Ein Mukdam Mukhar Batorah, it's Lo Nora. Lo Nora. It's not in chronological order. But here, it's not a question of chronology. It's just a question of extra psukim, which serve no purpose that we can discern. And Rashi doesn't help us. He doesn't explain to us why this happened. Let's look at the rest of the Rashi.
He's consistent. He does it in Bereishit and Vayechi. Gives the whole history in Yaakov's Brachot. This is a style of Rashi.
No, that's the things are out of order, yes. But here they're not out of order. These psukim are not out of order. They just don't fit any place. If this parsha was here, but not in Kitisa, so they just say, okay, they received prior knowledge about what was going to happen, right? But here, what was the purpose of receiving prior knowledge about what was going to happen if it happens anyway? I mean, Rashi doesn't explain that to us.
What about HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu that, and everyone know that Am Yisrael are going to go into Mitzrayim in the future? It was going to happen anyway, since there was a point of prior, or reveal the prior knowledge.
Right. Your question would depend on what you think the slavery in Mitzrayim was about. Because when God speaks to Avram Avinu, he doesn't connect it to a transgression. All there is Avram Avinu in the world. So now why did they go to Mitzrayim? What are they doing there? So if you could say, if you understand the time spent in Mitzrayim as part of the creation of the nation, right? So it's as though God says to Avram Avinu, and this will happen, and it because the nation will be created, and we created in Mitzrayim. Somehow. I mean, it's a worthwhile discussion. So it's not that God is telling Avram Avinu the future. He's validating his promise, because you remember that the Gemara, Avram Avinu said, "Bama eda ki irashena," about Eretz Yisrael. How do I know for sure that this is going to happen? Right? So, So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Tanit explains that pasuk. How do I know that this will really happen? That what Avraham Avinu meant to say was, but what if they transgress? My children, my nation. Then they won't be able to hold on to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael and transgression don't go together. So the Gemara gives an answer. But Avraham Avinu was very concerned, not about God's promise, but the context that B'nai Yisrael would create in order to maintain God's promise. That was difficult. That was difficult for Avraham Avinu to understand. After all, you know, Avraham Avinu had two sons, right? And one was good and one was not so good. So he said, look at me, I mean, I have two sons, and one of them is not so good. I mean, what is going to create a nation of Israel, which will deserve Eretz Yisrael? Right? There has to be some kind of a key here. All right, in any event, we'll go on. And then we'll see that there is a third parasha. It was the first two parashiyot, according to Rashi, are about the same thing. But now we'll get to a third parasha. And that third parasha is in Yoshua. Yoshua Perek Hei. This is a very interesting parasha that the Gemara was very intrigued by. It says as follows, Vayibiot Yoshua b'Yericho. Now you remember, they crossed the Jordan River and they camped around Yericho. And Yericho was the first city that was conquered by Yericho and B'nai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And before that time, under the direction of Moshe Rabbeinu, they conquered the land of Sichon v'Og, which was east of the Jordan River. And into that land settled Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. And that was considered to be a conquest, that, you know, Eretz Yisrael became Eretz Yisrael through Kibush v'Chalukah. Eretz Yisrael became Eretz Yisrael, like the potential became actualized through Kibush v'Chalukah, conquest and division of the land amongst the Shvatim, amongst the different tribes. Kibush v'Chalukah. So that it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu, in conquering the land of Sichon and Og, also did Kibush. And Am Yisrael together conquered the land, and they were directed by God to do it. And then it was given out to Reuven, Gad, Chatzi Shevet Menashe. It became Eretz Yisrael. When I say that the potential became actualized through Kibush v'Chalukah, what I'm talking about is mitzvot ha-tliyot ba'aretz, what we call mitzvot ha-tliyot ba'aretz. That means that until Kibush v'Chalukah, the people were not obligated to give trumot and ma'asrot and shmitah, right? Those halachot were not in force until Kibush and Chalukah. Right? We know that what the Gemara calls Surya, right, east of the Golan, right, which was captured by David HaMelech, and it's called Kibush Yachid, because David HaMelech did it on his own. So about Syria, those places that were conquered by Kibush Yachid, the halachists have questions about whether or not there's an obligation of mitzvot ha-tliyot ba'aretz. So that those are the different, in time of Yoshua ben Nun, right? Time of Yoshua ben Nun, there's Eretz Yisrael proper, and then there's Syria, and then there's Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. And all of that fell apart little by little, right? First Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe were exiled, then the 10 tribes were exiled, and then Yehuda was exiled, right? That took place, the 10 tribes, 722 BCE, 586 BC, Bayit Rishon, and 70 Bayit Sheni, as you know. So here you have Yoshua. Yoshua is standing in Yericho. Now you know that the word Ish, one of the meanings of the word Ish is Malach. So when it says he saw an Ish, does that mean he was totally fooled and he thought it was a regular person that he saw? Or did he perceive that there was something special about this guy? And he would hold his sword. So Yeshua saw this kind of good-looking, strong guy standing there. And he goes and he asks him this kind of naive question. Are you one of us or are you the enemy? Which I think was a little, well, what if he was the enemy? That would have been bad. Halanu atah mitzareinu v'yom eloki ani sar tzava Hashem atah bati. No. He says, I am an officer of Tzvaot Hashem, not Chabad. I'm an officer. I work for God. Atah bati. I have just arrived. V'yipol Yoshua al panav arza v'yishtachu v'yom eloki. So Yeshua realized that he was in a in a special situation, and he says to this Sar Tzava, he says to him, what's the message? What do you have to say? What do you want to tell me? Right, you know, in other words, Yeshua ben Nun was not quite Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw, right, the snebo erba ishvei nenu ukal, he saw the burning bush that was not burnt up, and then Hashem said to him, take off your shoes. Yoshua, he saw an angel, and the angel said to him, take off your shoes. Hamakom asher ata amed alav kodeshu, vayas Yoshua ken. That's what Yoshua did. So Rashi has a few comments. Atabati, you see Pasuk Yudal Atabati? Lezratcha. She'ein adam yachol lilachem aleha ulitofsa lapil hachoma aval bimei Moshe Ravcha bati velo chafetz bi shenemar im ein panecha holchim. Im ein panecha holchim. So there's a missing piece here that we just got out of this Rashi. Again, I'll read it again. Atabati. You see, the pasuk says, "Vayomer lo ki ani sar tzeva Hashem atabati. Atabati. Now I have come. What do you mean? Now I have come." What does he say? Now I've come. Of course he's come. He's there. He's standing there. Why does he say Atabati? So Rashi says, Rashi Atabati, you see the Rashi? Mm-hmm. This is the Rashi in Yoshua. Right? We read Rashi in Yoshua. Lezratcha. She'ein adam yechol leilachem aleha uletovso tavsa. Nobody could beat down Yericho, lapil achoma, alone. Without my help, you need my help in order to beat down the wall around Yericho. Aval b'yemei Moshe Rabcha ba'ati v'lo chafetz bi. But when I came at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he drove me away. He didn't want me to help him. So we know that something, that there's a malach who's a sar tzava, who is a general, who came to help Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu sent him away. Moshe Rabbeinu sent him away. V'atabati, and now I have come again, not for the reason that I came to Moshe Rabbeinu, not for that reason, but for this limited reason, a new reason, because I know you, Yoshua ben Nun, if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want me to come and help, So you probably also want me to come and help. But I came now because you have a problem that you can't solve on your own. And that is the wall around Jericho. So I'll help you out. So all you have to say, this is the third source about the Malach. The third source. Now, Bereshit Perek Memchet. Bereshit Perek Memchet. You see it? Vayivarech et Yosef ha-yomer Elokim asher itahalchu avotai lefanav Avraham Yitzhak ve-Elokim haro'e oti me'odi ad ha-yom hazeh. Now, in spite of the fact that the next pasuk is a nice song that people sing, it's also a pasuk. And this is what Yaakov says to Moshe, to Yosef. Hamalach hago'el oti mikol ra, who redeems me from every bad thing, yivarech et ha-ne'arim, he will bless these youths, right, your children. V'yikra b'hem shemi v'shem avotai Avraham v'Yitzchak v'yidgu laro v'kerev ha'aretz. What's the malach ha-go'el oti have to do with anything? What malach is Yaakov talking about? So the ha-meg davar, right, the Nitziv, in his commentary on the Chumash says this, ha-malach ha-go'el yivarech et ha-narim Ayivarech Kai Gam Ha Elokim Asher B'Mikra Akad Kodem Gam Ala Malach Ela Shelo Amar Yivarchu. He's talking about who does the bracha. You see, Pasuk Tetvav, it says Vayivarech Yosef Yom Elokim Asher Okay, and then Amalach Agoel. Yivarech, singular. The thing about this bothers the Nitziv. He says, Yivarech, Kai, Gam El Ha'elokim Asher B'Mikra HaKodein. In other words, who's going to bless the children? The Malach, but also, of course, Elokim is going to bless them. Ela Shelo Amar Yivarchu. Shelo Amar Yivarchu. It doesn't say plural in the Torah. This is a gambit that Rashi takes up very often. Like we would say that it doesn't always matter, singular and plural. Like, you know, the Torah, the Hebrew of the Torah doesn't always demand that the singular and the plural be addressed. Okay. Ela shelo amai yivarchu sharei gam ha-malach eino mevarech ela midat kono yitbarach. Because after all, when the Malach blesses Yosef and his children, he's doing it under the direction of God. So that when you say the Malach did it, you mean God did it. So why should you say it plural? Because when the bracha comes, even if it comes through the Malach, it's really coming through God. That's what the Elishahu v'bchina nemucha mima'aseha ba'al yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see it? So he's explained a lot of things to us by just saying that line. You know, you always want to understand things. I don't understand it, but I can quote somebody who did. So that's the Nitziv. What did the Nitziv say? He said, why is it that the singular Yivarech is used in the Pasuk? Isn't it true that God blessed Yosef and his children, and that the Malach will bless Yosef and his children? So for the Nitziv, one and one is two, would say, the Torah should have said Yivarchu. So he says, no, all the brachot come from God at the end of the day. And that the malach is only an agent of God and can't do anything that God doesn't want the malach to do. Oh, so why have a malach? He says, he the Nitziv implies, if it's God, whether it's a malach or not, so why have a malach ever? Why didn't Yaakov say, God will bless you and your children? Question. What's the answer of the Netziv? The answer of the Netziv is when the bracha is funneled through the malach, it's of lesser potency. There I say, I don't know what that means, but the Netziv understood what it meant. So I can quote the Netziv. He says, lesser potency in the malach. So if you have this idea of the Netziv, if you have this idea of the Netziv, so you understand the first two parashiyot that we were talking about. The first parasha in the parasha of Mishpatim, and the second in the parasha of Kitisa. Both of them refer to a malach. Rashi is the same malach. He has no explanation. But the Netziv did give us an explanation. He gave us an explanation. What was that explanation? That when Bnei Yisrael received the Torah, when they received the Torah, they understood very well two things. One was that they understood, apparently, that Moshe Rabbeinu actually received the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they witnessed that, because they heard God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu for the first two Dibrot. But they knew something else. They knew something else, and that was that they could not imitate the status of Moshe Rabbeinu beyond that one moment in history. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain to spend 40 days and 40 nights to get to the Torah, Bnei Yisrael said, "You go, we'll wait." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they will be at the foot of the mountain, and you will come up to get the Torah. So that the malach, right, Hinei Anochi Sholech Malach Lefanecha Leshomrecha, is an indication of Am Yisrael. It has nothing to do with a punishment. It's the summary of Matan Torah. That somehow, the one-time event in history, which was that Bnei Yisrael heard God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Yedaber, V'alukim Ya'anenu B'kol, that's the end. And from then on, all the Torah will be brought to us through a shaliach. And you know that in the Gemara, again and again, that shaliach is called Moshe. And the question is, and you see this in Chassidut all the time, what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? How could it be that we could live without Moshe Rabbeinu? After all, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who bridged the gap between our limited comprehension and his more profound comprehension. So wouldn't you think that such a Moshe Rabbeinu should always be around? So this psukim say, from now on, you get it from a malach. And a malach, one of the people who call the malach is a Navi. You'll get it from a Navi. But what is there? What do we know about a Navi? That he can't change anything. He can't say anything about the Torah that is different than the tradition of interpretation. That's the malach. So this is the summary of Aseret HaDibrot. And if you ask me, where's the Moshe Rabbeinu of our generation? Of our generation. So I say, I haven't got a clue. But in the past, who was it to whom this status was appointed? First, Ezra HaSofer, right? Ezra, who came back from Bavel and had to fix the Torah. There were a lot of mistakes, so he was sort of like he gave the Torah. Then you've heard of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who disseminated the Torah Sheba'al Peh of Kabbalah, right? The Zohar. We're not talking about history now, right? I'm talking about the way history was appreciated. And after Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the Arizal. And after the Arizal, the Baal Shem Tov. And after the Baal Shem Tov, maybe the Baal HaTanya, maybe Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. In other words, it's not clear But we were always searching for the voice which would take us beyond the malach. The second malach. In the parasha of Kitisa is the malach that represents the ongoing descent between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael about the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu, as Rashi points out, prevented that malach from actually taking charge in the desert. So when the malach showed up and talked to Yoshua Ben Nun, he insisted, as Rashi says, that I'm not here to take away, to deny your leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu took care of that. But the reason that I'm here is to help you with the conquest of Yericho, something that you probably would not be able to do on your own. And finally, the statement by Yaakov Avinu about Hamalach HaGoel Oti Yivarech Et HaNe'arim. Hamalach HaGoel Oti Yivarech Et HaNe'arim. So that Yaakov Avinu is telling Yosef that that diaspora Judaism, I would say, today, of course, everything is argumentative. I don't want to get carried away here. But that life in Egypt for Yosef, his family, his sons, created a situation of Hamalach HaGoel Osi. That's the hidden message that Yaakov Avinu gives to Yosef and his sons, according to the Amek Davar. He says, you get the bracha, and the bracha ultimately comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if there's intervention from a malach, you have to understand, it's not quite the same. It's not the same as the bracha to Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's the bracha of a malach HaGoel Oti. So all of these malachim, and malach HaGoel Oti, according to the Tziv, means it's not quite the same. The corruption, in other words, even though the galut was somehow necessary in order to promote Am Yisrael, the galut left a difficult impression on Am Yisrael. And that's why Chazal always say that the 49 gates of Tumah were the state that Bnei Yisrael were in when Moshe Rabbeinu came to redeem them and take them out of Mitzrayim. So that living in Mitzrayim under the oppression of the Egyptians is what forged Am Yisrael. But being oppressed by the Egyptian also left its imprint on them. They couldn't avoid it. It's not something that you could argue. When I first came to Yerushalayim, I think when I came to Aliyah, I was really surprised to find that most of the people here were Jewish. And that changes everything, doesn't it? Once I went back to America, and I was on a plane, and I had a stomach ache, so there was some overeager physician who had me hospitalized immediately for appendicitis, and unfortunately they didn't operate. But I was in this hospital, and I came back to Israel, and God helped me out and put me into the hospital again, into Hadassah, and it was really very nice. I hear people screaming and yelling, but it was not foreign screaming and yelling. It was like Jewish screaming and yelling. And, even people it was just different. You didn't feel that you were protecting yourself all the time. That's a paid political announcement. So just let me summarize once more. The first malach indicates the status of Am Yisrael when receiving the Torah, that they could never achieve. They couldn't achieve as a nation, Moshe Rabbeinu. They couldn't be Moshe Rabbeinu. The second Malach HaGoel is about the punishment. Not Malach HaGoel. The second Malach is about the punishment Bnei Yisrael received after Yitziat Mitzrayim, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did away with that. He didn't allow the Malach to lead the people. And the third Malach HaGoel, the third Malach is the Malach of Yehoshua, where the explanation is that the Malach returned to help Yehoshua fight, but not to lead them to Eretz, into Eretz Canaan. And a Malach HaGoel Oti is the fact that in Mitzrayim, there's a kind of attenuation of the bracha. The bracha that God gives to his people, in this case to Yosef and his children, that bracha is attenuated. It's limited by the fact that they were in Mitzrayim after all, and therefore the bracha is God's, but through the vehicle of the Malach HaGoel Oti, which attenuates that bracha. So in general, a Malach, according to the Netziv, the Malach limits, changes the whatever it is that's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, have a good Shabbos.